25. This is the InfoWars War Room, the fastest 3 hours on the internet. Starts now. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. Let me tell you what we have coming up for you today. Now, I've got a rather short stack of the Epstein stuff. And I don't know, maybe we're sick of it, maybe we're not. It's still the top story. It's still the top trend. But there's some other ripples we're going to look into today. And then really the big news would have to be the statements from Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt today answering some of these questions and then going against some other White House or D.C. Trump administration involved people that were giving out bad intel to people in the media. And now she's having to run back to the podium to try to correct all of that today. And so the whole thing is just a mess. And it's about to get worse. It's about to get worse. And I'll leave it at that for now. But I told you yesterday that today's story was going to be Trump's health problems. And now you see it. So I'm telling you today, it could happen as soon as tonight. But now the next big story is going to be new Trump Epstein connections. So, you know, Trump did this to himself. And it's not even about, let's say, Epstein hooking him up with some hot 20-year-old 40 years ago. It's the fact that he came out and insulted his base and said it was a hoax. And so the whole thing is just crazy, and I don't want to get into all of it now. We'll get into it coming up, but it's just going to get worse. So, told you the hell story would pop today. It could be as soon as tonight, could be tomorrow, could be next week. There'll be another Epstein story. And they're running around trying to cover your ass right now, and they're running around telling all these different people different things. Folks, they can't even get their messaging straight. And the whole thing is just totally out of control. Just completely out of control. So we'll analyze all of that. But we do have other news. I got a big stack over here with some geopolitical news. And really, Israel is making a mockery of Donald Trump at this point. They're making a mockery of Donald Trump. They're making a mockery of this White House. And they're basically just flipping America the middle finger and saying, there's nothing you can do about it. We own you, and we have no respect for you. And then they say that, and then Donald Trump does exactly what they want, and then they do whatever they want, and then you're told you're winning. It's not good. So we'll have updates on that. And then another Trump policy from yesterday that looks like a swing and a miss that was supposed to be, you know, some minor victory we thought. It looks like that's just going to be another swing and a miss. Now, the problem is you're not going after the deep state. Oh, we got Maureen Comey. Yeah, after she did the cover-up. She did her job. Maureen Comey covered up the Maxwell case, the Epstein case, and the Diddy case, and then she's fired. Oh, perfect. Way to go. Good job, Maureen. Congratulations. Now, retire. And then we can take a look at how bad the economy has gotten. And that's not something that's just on Trump. That's something that's been going on for our entire lives. But when you look at it by the numbers, it's quite shocking. And when you go back in time and you look at how much things used to cost and affordability compared to now, it's definitely shocking. And then you got the Democrats stealing money with the high-speed rail. Oh, we're going to shut it down. No, you need to be launching investigations where the hundreds of millions of dollars went. So they say, well, we sent a bunch of money to California for a high-speed rail. They haven't laid a single rail, so we're canceling the project. Okay, that's good. Now, how about a criminal investigation?
Ultra power, the meth, the leaf blue. He got-
And right now, it is a painful death. Not a slow death either. It is moving at light speed, ladies and gentlemen, and it's about to get worse. And just so you understand, if you tuned in yesterday, and I actually shot a report on it before I went on air, and then I told you on air, I said the next big story to drop is going to be about Trump's health. And then it dropped today, and then the White House had to address it, and we'll get those comments coming up. So just understand, you're getting the true DC insider information here. And you can only imagine the rumors that are going around DC right now, going around the House, going around the Senate, going around the media, dealing with this Epstein stuff. And perhaps just for a better understanding, you know, most people in DC, when you reach a certain point in media, you know, yeah, you might be right, you might be left, maybe like Democrats, Republicans, whatever, but you kind of reach a certain point where your political leanings don't even matter, and you're just trying to get to the bottom of a story. And so, I mean, let's say it like this. Even the Trump-friendly media that runs around D.C. and has access to the White House, even their ears are perked on this Epstein stuff. And I mean, this is why you're hearing about all of these different agencies closing their press rooms. Notice how silent Dan Ratcliffe is. Notice how Tulsi Gabbard has been pretty much completely sidelined. These things are all connected. But you can only imagine the rumors going around in D.C. right now. Now, I'm not going to report to you the rumors, but I am going to tell you this. Just like I told you the health story would drop today. There's going to be new Trump-Epstein connections. Now, some of it's going to be like old recycled news that was really never a big deal at the time. And I think Trump is trying to protect his family to a certain extent. I'll leave it at that for now. But would you be surprised if Epstein introduced some young ladies to Donald Trump to go hang out at Mar-a-Lago? And by young, I mean 20s, let's be clear. Would that surprise anybody? Would it really matter that much? Well, they're going to dig in, folks. They're going to find every connection. They're going to find every old story. They're going to try to tie in as many members of the Trump family as they can. These stories could start dropping as soon as tonight. But by sometime next week, you're going to start seeing this stuff. And there's just no going back now. There's no going back now. And it's like I explained yesterday, where it didn't have to be this way. And you can even use the divorce analogy, because it's very fitting. You go through a divorce with your wife, and everybody knows stuff, nasty stuff comes out. And when it's, you know, public stuff or high profile stuff, it's like, yeah, you get skeletons fall out of that closet. It gets nasty. And so that's what this is like. Trump said he's done with us, and so he's declared a divorce, and so now we're going through the divorce proceedings, and it's like, well, okay. Believe me, a lot of the people that are going to be reporting this stuff are not anti-Trump, folks. They're not Democrats. But Trump said, shut up. I'm over you. Quit talking about it. So, yeah, they're going to dig in and find everything now. And it is the mother of all Streisand effects. And they know, even if they dig up stories from the 80s or 90s, and it's not even stuff that's illegal, and they put it into a story and they make these connections, it's going to be huge. So that's where it's going to go next. It could happen tonight, tomorrow, next week, but it's happening. And it's going to get so bad because it's going to reach this point where Trump just can't declare ignorance anymore. You know, this whole act like, oh, Epstein had no influence or nobody knew him or he was a loser or I didn't know him. Huh. It's going to become undeniable now. And it didn't have to be this way. You divorced us. You wanted to get to, you wanted it to get nasty. And so when I close out the show with that rant, we ram heads. And so you rammed heads with us. And you really underestimated it. And I think that that's a major factor here because I look at the angle of the White House and I look at the angle of Trump specifically. Is it incompetence? Because what are the odds? Is it a coincidence? Is it incompetence? Is it a cover-up? What are the odds that Trump surrounds himself with all of these people that are connected to the Epstein case? What are the odds? He's got Bill Barr in there. He's got Kavanaugh. He's got Acosta. He's got Lutnick. Maybe more. What are the odds? Is that a coincidence? Is that a cover-up? What are the odds? And it's all happened in his administration. And it kind of got skipped over. But when he told the media from the White House that Epstein, that it was all under Biden, that's just wrong. So, okay, so why is Trump trying to convince the American people that all of this happened under Biden when Epstein was re-brought in the first Trump administration and killed himself in prison, right? In the first Trump administration. And then he tells the media from the Oval Office yesterday, no, that happened in the Biden administration. Well, no, it didn't. Are you having a Biden, are you having a Biden brain problem? Or are you lying? But it kind of hit me as I'm watching this play out. Because now it's going to become this issue of, if you don't come out and demand the Epstein files be released, then people are just going to assume you're somehow complicit or a part of it. And aside from the obvious angle that people are trying to distract from and cover up, which is the intelligence asset, specifically Mossad and Maxwell, the other phenomenon here is, and maybe this is where Trump is getting it wrong, but where I see kind of the old guard Republican media, the old guard conservative media is totally getting it wrong. And it hit me when I saw this yesterday from Riley Gaines. Now, Riley Gaines is the female swimmer who lost to the 6'3" male, Leah Thomas, formerly Billy Thomas or something from Austin, Texas, but couldn't compete against men in college, used to swim here in Austin in high school, couldn't compete against men in college, so decided to say, oh, I'm a woman, I'm going to compete against women, breaks the NCAA records, beats Riley Gaines. So Riley Gaines comes out and stands against it, takes a stand, becomes a hero on the right wing, becomes a big tool for Republicans in election cycles to stand against men and women's sports, and now she's cemented. She's a hero. She is cemented in the right wing as a media figure, as even a heroic figure. And this is a young girl, probably like 24, 25. And so she's coming out and she says this yesterday. Was it stupid and foolish when Trump campaigned on releasing the files? Are Pam Bondi, Cash Patel, Dan Bongino, and Alina Habba all foolish and stupid for peddling this for the past 6 months? Why on earth is he doing this? So Riley Gaines coming out against the Epstein cover-up. And then I see she's getting attacked. They're attacking her. Oh, how dare you against Trump? Oh, you betray MAGA, all this other stuff. And it hit me as I'm watching this. And again, I'm not making a blanket statement here. I'm not making a blanket statement about an entire group of people. I don't do the generational warfare thing, but I can make fair observations. And so it hit me, because Because it's one thing when you're just getting attacked and it's just like, okay, it's just all, you know, front-facing attack on you. But then you see other people getting attacked and you're like, well, wait a second, what do we all have in common? What do the people attacking them have in common? And so it hit me. The old guard Republican establishment, the conservative incorporated, as it's been called, they really thought that they could use the younger generations, and we're talking maybe 50 and older, 60 and older, the old guard. If you want to go generationally, like boomer generation, again, not making a blanket statement. But what I noticed was it's the old guard conservative establishment, probably mostly above 50 years old, above 60 years old. And they wanted to use people like Riley Gaines in an election cycle for the Republicans to get power. But now that the Republicans are in power, and now that Riley Gaines has a huge following and a huge platform and big influence and has opinions and thoughts on politics, now they're saying, we're not interested in your opinion. Yeah, we built you up and we used your testimony and your likeness to help Republicans win and get legislation passed, but we don't want to hear from you anymore. We don't want to hear about you or the Epstein files or your opinions on anything. Now, I'm using Riley as an example, but this is the case for many such people. Maybe to a lesser extent me, because I didn't really get, you know, indoctrinated into mainstream conservatism like she did. But it's still the same phenomenon. Well, you can't do that. And Riley was younger, probably like 10 years younger than me. But they have this idea at the top, the old guard, the older generation Republicans, conservatives, they have this idea that they can just now push us back to the kiddie table and say, you're not really a serious person. Go back to the kiddie table. We don't want to hear from you anymore. We still run the show. And we're saying, not so fast. Not so fast. No, we do get a seat at the table. We have come of age. And maybe this is what you haven't realized yet, we're in control of the new media. You can't bury us. You can't take it. You can't tell us to go to the kiddie table and shut up and say the adults are talking. No, can't do that. And you can't bury us because we are in control of the new media now. And I even think they fall for their own propaganda to an extent. And they just think, well, we still run Fox News and we still own Fox News. You know, Riley Gaines was a regular guest on Fox News. And I know exactly what you're doing over there at Fox News. I've talked about it before. I'm not going to go into it. But they still believe it's just like, well, whatever we give them on Fox News, that'll control the narrative. Whatever we don't give them on Fox News, that'll get buried. You're wrong. And I guess Trump and the old guard Republicans telling you to get over the Epstein thing, I guess they just haven't realized it yet. It just hasn't hit them yet. So you can tell Riley Gaines, oh, go back to the kiddie table. The adults are talking. And think you can bury her. You can't. You can't do it to Riley Gaines. You can't do it to Owen Schroyer. You can try to do it to Charlie Kirk, but he's not going to be able to keep that beach ball underwater. You just can't. We've come of age. We have a seat at the table. And I think more importantly than getting into maybe the infighting angle would be to say this. Why is the Epstein list so important to us? Why is it an issue that we won't stop talking about? Because we believe, and really there's no pushback on this, which shows you how the whole thing is a cover-up, quite frankly. But there's no pushback here. We believe the government is corrupt. We believe the centralized power in our establishment institutions is corrupt. Virtually the entire establishment power structure, we believe, is corrupt. Now, we don't get any pushback there. That seems to be a general understanding. But to look at it through a specific lens or a specific issue like the Epstein list, we believe that full disclosure and full exposure of the Epstein list, the Epstein clients, and everything else they were up to will be like pulling the thread that will eventually unravel all the political corruption. So that's why we can't let it go. And maybe to even take it to another level, and this is where people do kind of get into generational warfare with it. Younger people are saying, look at what the boomers have left us. Look at what you've left us. You've left us massive debt. You've left us an entrenched military-industrial complex. You have left us a complete disaster of a country that you inherited, that we're now trying to fix. And it ties into other issues where there's the generational gap like foreign aid and Israel. But we're sitting here saying, you have left us a mess of a country. And we don't want to leave that for our lineage. We don't want to leave that for future generations. And we believe the Epstein list, pulling that thread, is part of the process of getting things back in the right direction, getting our government back under our control for the people, and stopping all of the sordid corruption in what we believe is the most powerful, influential establishment institutions with all the centralized power and influence in our country, blackmailed, run by blackmailed perverts and financial criminals. So you're not going to tell us to shut up about it. And we're not going to shut up about it. So yeah, the younger people, we don't want in your wars that you're going to leave us anymore. The younger people, we don't want to be entrapped in these foreign aid fraud schemes that you're trying to leave us. We don't want to be left with a foreign policy dictated by a foreign country. And we don't want to be left with a system run by blackmailed perverts and financial criminals. And no matter how many times you ask us to stop talking about the Epstein list, it's not going to happen because we correlate that to exactly what it is we're trying to fix. Now, when we come back from the break, I'm going to play the clips of Caroline Leavitt today at the White House. But now it's going to become a much bigger issue for Trump personally. It's going to become a much bigger issue for Republicans and conservatives, whether you're in politics or media, because this thing is only getting more out of control and people are going to start coming out and start saying things just to clear their names or just to say, I have integrity, I have reputational standards I want to adhere to, I will not stop talking about the Epstein list, or I'm a politician, I'm running for office again, I know it's popular to come out and ask for the Epstein list, so I, as a member of Congress, Democrat or Republican, I'm going to say, release the list. So this thing is just going to get worse. And then, I mean, you can try to make Bondi the fall person on this, but it ain't going to work. That's not going to work. And the whole thing is such a mess that they've got different people. They can't even get their messaging straight. And that's what happens when you lie. They've spun a web of lies with this Epstein cover up. And now they can't even get their story straight. So they've got one White House spokesperson going over here and saying one thing, another White House spokesperson going over here and saying another thing to try to do damage control. And then it gets right back to Donald Trump, and he says, nope, not doing it, not doing the Epstein stuff, shut up. Now, is President Trump protecting himself? Is he protecting people around him? Is he protecting people in his administration? Is he protecting friends of his, family of his? Well, You might get a better idea of that soon. You might get a better idea of that. And it didn't have to go there. But he filed for the divorce the other day, and so now you're going through divorce proceedings. So today it was the hell story, as I told you. It's going to be Epstein stuff. Like I said, it might drop before I'm even off air. So if anything happens, I'm sure they'll put it up on Drudge. But the crew will pull it up. It could happen before I'm even off. But now, I mean, folks, they're so in deep now. The FBI is virtually paralyzed. And luckily, you do have good people there that are actually doing real operations and real cop work and busting up pedophile rings and other such criminal stuff that's going on. That is happening. But at the top, it's just full damage control now. And they're trying to stop stories from getting out. And they're trying to negotiate other deals for personal benefits. And I still think Bongino is probably just soul searching. He doesn't even know what to do. He probably does know what to do, but it's like he knows if he leaves, he embarrasses Trump in the White House. He knows if he stays, he embarrasses himself. So it's really sad to see it go south so fast. And this hubris, pretending like you can move on without MAGA, without Trump's base from 2015, is just hilarious. Trump doesn't have to win re-election, so he probably doesn't even care. He's got other motives. But this will cost the Republicans the midterms at this rate. And the powerful political coalition that we called MAGA is going through divorce proceedings now with Trump. And it's getting nasty. And if you think all these newcomer MAGAs, if you think they're going to be in the streets for you and fighting for you, you got another thing coming, Jack.
Huge announcement, ladies and gentlemen. I am beyond excited about this. I've wanted this knife for a year. It's super high quality. They finally got the right supplier and a bunch of them. It's in a beautiful keepsake black box with my signature in silver lettering on the top. And when you go inside, this incredible combat battle dagger, limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger, a high-tech, super high-quality sheath with a high-tech clip under your belt or your pants. And it's got a special system where the knife doesn't come out when it's upside down. It takes a little pull to get it out. It is amazing. This is, in my opinion, the very best defense battle dagger you can get. It's an incredible price for $79.99 right now. This knife by itself in store sells for $100 every day, but we bought 5,000 of them, so got the price down really low. Wholesale, so we can pass that on to you, and the profit we make goes in to fund this operation. So you don't just get a great defensive system for yourself and your family, great in your car, great on your side, great in your purse, your glove compartment, also skin a buck with it, whatever you need. This is an amazing knife. You not only, though, get something to defend yourself, you defend the Republic in the information war by funding this operation. So get your limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger at thealexjonesstore.com right now, and it keeps this operation on the air. This isn't just a blade, it's a symbol of freedom. The limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger is forged by patriots ready to defend the Republic from the globalist agenda. Featuring a double-edged black-coated blade for unmatched durability and precision, this dagger is built to last. On one side is etched my signature, while the other side proudly bears 1776, a reminder that the spirit of revolution lives on stronger than ever. With its ergonomic non-slip grip designed ready for any mission, the dagger isn't just a tool, it's a statement. Whether you're adding it to your collection or keeping it close as a symbol of resistance and for defense, this blade is for those who know that the answer in 1984 is 1776. Get yours now. And then, we are announcing a limited sale, the Power Drive bundle of Power Plant and Methyl Drive, which goes incredibly good with Methylene Blue. And both of these give you incredible natural energy, clarity, and focus. But you mix them together with Methylene Blue, I will tell you, in Chase Geyser's observation himself, 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Did you hear what I just said? 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Get yours now, discounted massively, 50% off when you get them together. 50% off on the Power Drive Bundle for a limited time, 1 week, at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds this operation, 1776 Worldwide.
Trump's playing 30D chess. Trump's got him in a trap. You know, we have a good laugh. And I will be so happy if that happens. And in all the people that are saying, Schroyer sold out, fake MAGA, Trump's got him in a trap. He was playing him the whole time. It's Q. When that day, I don't even care if you want to gloat and rub it in my face. I will gladly eat the crow. I will be so happy. So, you know, have your little victory laps prematurely if you want. I'll be thrilled if that happens. I'll be so happy to be wrong if that happens. But I doubt you'll have so much humility when it doesn't. So it looks like it's already getting out there, folks. Sean Spicer, Mark Halperin, blockbuster Trump Epstein expose reportedly imminent. I don't think Trump was doing anything illegal, but this is going to implicate Trump, maybe his family, and maybe members of his administration. And again, who knows? You meet Epstein at a golf club or something, and you know he's got some beautiful women there, and you're like, oh hey, you know, she's single, yeah. Like, wow, that's a 23-year-old blonde beauty right there. She's single? Like, yes, she is. He's like, oh, would you guys like to come to my club next week? Sure. Okay, yeah. Oh, get on an airplane. Oh, go down to the club. And now you have Dershowitz. I'm like 50-50 on even to get into the Dershowitz angle. Because it's like, on one hand, I give him credit if you trust him. But on one hand, I give him credit because he's being very transparent about stuff. But then on another hand, you look into some of the other involvement, some of the other things he's done, and you're saying, well, wait a second now. So this was the White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt answering some of these questions. First, let's go right into the Epstein case. Will there be a special prosecutor, a special counsel? Clip 12.
paper?
Well, the idea was floated from someone in the media to the president. The president would not recommend a special prosecutor in the Epstein case. That's how he feels. And as for his discussions with the attorney general, I'm not sure. Deanna.
Carolyn, thank you.
She's not sure. Well, nobody's really sure about the attorney general at this point. So let me explain. Let me translate. This thing is such a mess. And I mean, you know, you can't blame Trump for everything. He's still the president. He's still got to meet with foreign diplomats. He's still got to handle other business with his administration. So obviously he can't sit here and do the Epstein stuff 24/7. But because there was so little coordination on all of this, he had surrogates going on media saying, well, there'll be a special counsel. He had surrogates giving information to other members of the media saying, oh, yeah, Trump's going to call for the special counsel. And then it gets brought to Trump, and he says, absolutely not. And Caroline Leavitt has to go out and correct the record for all of it. I start to wonder if Caroline Leavitt isn't going to go the way of Jen Psaki. I'm telling you, folks, this isn't fun. I want to be here doing victory laps, but this thing is falling apart. And yeah, Trump does have some health issues. He's 80 years old. He's still extremely impressive for an 80-year-old, and I think his mental faculties are still on point, but I mean, you're 80 years old. Maybe Trump needs to take like a weekend or like a week golf trip or something. Just go hit the links, President Trump. Go play some golf, go out with some of your friends, get away from all of this, clear your head, get back to your instincts, because his instincts are so good. His instincts have always been good. But then he gets all these people around him manipulating him and feeding him bad information and bad polls and all this other stuff. And it's just like, go with your instincts. It's like, go with your instincts when you were going after Obama years ago. Go with your instincts when you were going after Clinton. Go with your instincts on foreign policy in the Middle East. It's like your instincts are there every time. And when it's just you and you're talking to the media, or it's just you and you're talking to the American people, your instincts are right. And then you get all these corrupt sons of bitches around you with all their own agendas, and they feed you a bunch of lies and propaganda and manipulate you, and then everything goes haywire. So, we told you yesterday the big story today was going to be the health, and Caroline Leavitt had to address that earlier today in clip 11.
Note, I know that many in the media have been speculating about bruising on the president's hand and also swelling in the president's legs. So in the effort of transparency, the president wanted me to share a note from his physician with all of you today. In recent weeks, President Trump noted mild swelling in his lower legs. In keeping with routine medical care and out of an abundance of caution, this concern was thoroughly evaluated by the White House medical unit. The president underwent a comprehensive examination, including diagnostic vascular studies. Bilateral lower extremity venous Doppler ultrasounds were performed and revealed chronic venous insufficiency, a benign and common condition, particularly in individuals over the age of 70. Importantly, there was no evidence of deep vein thrombosis or arterial disease. Laboratory testing included a complete blood count, comprehensive metabolic panel, coagulation profile, D-dimer, B-type natriuretic peptide, and cardiac biomarkers. All results were within normal limits. An echocardiogram was also performed and confirmed normal cardiac structure and function. No signs of heart failure, renal impairment, or systemic illness were identified. Additionally, recent photos of the president have shown minor bruising on the back of his hand. This is consistent with minor soft tissue irritation from frequent handshaking and the use of aspirin, which is taken as part of a standard cardiovascular prevention regimen. This is a well-known and benign side effect of aspirin therapy. And the president remains in excellent health, which I think all of you witness on a daily basis here. So the president.
So there you go. Never doubt me, folks. Now, the next statement from White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt will take us in a different direction. And it'll lead me into this stack of geopolitical news. But you have to wonder why, and maybe it does tie into the Epstein stuff, because maybe the Israelis are the only ones with the actual blackmail and files now. Because if Trump is claiming, if it's true, that the Democrats altered the files, well, then that's a crime, and so there should be criminal investigations and prosecutions. But notice how nobody's calling for that, nobody's doing that. Is that because Pam Bondi is worthless or because you're lying? Israel has attacked multiple Christian holy sites in this current five-front war that they're launching against all of their neighbors, including recently attacking a Catholic church and killing multiple people. So Israel is just embarrassing this entire administration. They're just dog-walking them, showing America that this administration is Israel's bitch. So Levitt had to address this in clip 13.
Oh, and go ahead. Caroline,
good afternoon, Caroline. In Gaza today, Holy Family Catholic Church was struck by an Israeli shell.
Yes.
3 people were killed, 10 wounded. What is the president's reaction to that church coming under fire?
It was not a positive reaction. He called Prime Minister Netanyahu this morning to address the strikes on that church in Gaza. And I understand the Prime Minister agreed to put out a statement. It was a mistake by the Israelis to hit that Catholic church. That's what the Prime Minister relayed to the president. And you should look at the Prime Minister's statement. That would be coming.
It was a mistake. Now, supposedly, this was hit by a tank, multiple rounds from a tank. Now, I've never operated a tank in real life, so I can't say I'm the expert here. You know, I have played a few games like Call of Duty or some such where you can operate a tank, but I don't know. Is that really a mistake to point your barrel at a church and then hit fire multiple times? It's like, oops, I don't know what's happening. I have no idea what's going on. It's all a mistake. Boom. Oh, accidental. Boom. Oh, my. Israel says it was just a mistake. It was just a mistake. Oh, they're bombing Damascus, a holy site for Christians. Oh, they're bombing Catholic Church. Oh, they're attacking. It's just a joke. But it's actually even worse. Because 2 days ago, I guess Israel is telling the White House or Trump, they're like, hey, we're about to bomb 5 countries here, and we're about to expand. So I guess they're telling Trump this, and now you can kind of see all the pieces falling into place. I don't know, maybe Trump's a part of it. But I think they're calling the White House, and they're saying, hey, we're about to take land in the West Bank. We're about to take the whole Gaza Strip. We're going to take this major land in Syria. We're hoping to get something from Jordan, something from Lebanon, you know, maybe with some regime change in Iran, eventually use that for our agenda as well. So Rubio or Trump himself is saying, hey, you need to knock it off. You're embarrassing us. You're not bringing peace to the world. You're hurting yourselves on the world stage. You need to stop. And now we're seeing the whole Syria agenda and how they basically just took over. Israel's tried to conquer Syria so they can move all the Palestinians over there and then take the Gaza Strip. Same with the West Bank. So that's all it was about. They wanted to topple Syria, put their controlled opposition in there, and then eventually take the land to resettle everybody out of the land that they're about to take. But so they had this conversation 2 days ago, and the White House specifically said to Israel, stop it, knock it off, stop all the bombing, stop all the killing. This was 2 days ago. U.S. asks Israel to stop airstrikes on Syrian forces. Stop attacking South Syria. Israel bombs Syrian capital despite U.S. pressure to stand down. So they just blatantly said, no, thank you. Greatest ally. That's the divorce. Imagine that. Trump could have divorced from the greatest evil force in the world right now, the Netanyahu Israel-led government. And instead he divorced with MAGA. Israel bombards Syria's Damascus as U.S. says to stop violence. And it was their impression that Israel agreed that they would stop the violence. And now they're just killing hundreds. Hundreds in Syria, hundreds in Jordan and Lebanon, and tens of thousands in the Gaza Strip. It'll never end. Killing Christians. The Trump administration begs, like, can you just stop the killing, please? can you just take a break from the bloodshed, please? Say, oh, yeah, sure. And then 24 hours later, bomb. Bomb a Catholic church. Bomb Damascus. Kill more Christians. They killed an American. Yeah. Rubio says U.S. very concerned over Syria violence. Trump administration tried to stop Israeli strikes, and it failed. And they're trying to run this propaganda, too, where they're showing an image. It's amazing. And look, there's all kinds of propaganda that come out of that region, okay? That's why I try not, I don't even show most of the stuff. I don't show most of the stuff that's going on in Gaza and all the other videos, and I don't show other stuff because I don't know what's real and what's not. And some of it's been proven fake, like the fake AI burned up babies. And then there's other videos where it shows people that are dead, and then they start moving around, smoking a cigarette. So I just don't even show this stuff. But I saw one propaganda campaign where they're trying to pretend like the church wasn't completely destroyed. And this is how you know it got hit with multiple rounds. So there was a first strike on this church that didn't completely destroy it. So all the pro-Israel accounts are sharing this image of the church with like a little couple bricks missing. And they say, oh, it's a lie. Nobody destroyed a church. Well, that's propaganda. They're showing you an image before the second strikes. Oh, it's an accident. Strike it again. So no, this is the actual result. Right here. And there's other images. The actual result is, no, you destroyed the church and you killed multiple people inside and you did it on purpose. You're dirty, rotten liars. You're disgusting. And it's disgusting this administration continues to support it. But you know what's amazing? The cross is the only thing standing in the aftermath. The IDF tried to completely destroy a church, killed multiple people inside, said it was an accident. The only thing standing was the cross. The only thing standing was the cross. And you know what? Maybe that wasn't such an accident from the Almighty. Little reminder. Cardinal Pizzaballa, what we know for sure is that a tank, the IDF says by mistake, but we're not sure about this, hit the church directly. The Church of the Holy Family, the Latin Church. Yeah, everybody knows they did it on purpose. It was no mistake, folks. They're lying. They're dirty, rotten liars. They're killers and liars. Pope Leo put out this statement. His Holiness Pope Leo was deeply saddened to learn of the loss of life and injury caused by the military attack on the Holy Family Catholic Church in Gaza. There's another church they attacked. And he assures the parish priest, Father Gabriel Romanelli, and the whole parish community of his spiritual closeness in commending the souls of the deceased to the loving mercy of Almighty God. The Holy Father prays for the consolation of those who grieve and for their recovery of the injured. His Holiness renews his call for an immediate ceasefire, and he expresses his profound hope for dialogue, reconciliation, and enduring peace in the region. It just so happens this church in Gaza, the last pope used to call every day and pray. Because, obviously, Israel basically just destroying the entire region. So Pope Francis would call them every day and pray with them that the IDF would not destroy their church and kill their people. Well, and now they have. And now Israel's going back for Iran. New assessment finds American strikes destroyed only one of three Iranian nuclear sites. Oh yeah, where do you think they're getting that intelligence, guys? You think that's the CIA in there? Israel is preparing to bomb Iran again. Well, they have to. We didn't destroy the nuclear site, don't you know? So, you know, I don't know if you can say the same thing about this Trump Epstein thing, but I think I'm 99.9 why Trump is saying stop talking about the nuclear sites, because he's like, hey, we need peace. If we say the nuclear site wasn't destroyed, then Israel's going to come in and start bombing and start the war again and ask us to bomb again. So just say it was destroyed. Just leave it alone. Let it go. So I get that. But now it's Israeli intelligence and it's everybody that wants regime change in Iran and just, you know, the Israelis that just can't ever get enough blood. So, oh, we didn't destroy the sites. We need to go back in. And then they'll play the exact same game and they'll say, oh, no. Don't worry. We can do it on our own. And then there'll be some strikes back and forth. And then Israel will come over and call the president and say, yeah, go bomb. Go bomb for us. Go bomb right now. And the president will have no choice. Why? I don't know. Take your guess. And we're spread so thin all over the world. U.S. military trains to defend Panama Canal from China threat. So they're concerned they might have to fight for the Panama Canal with China now. I've been telling you, folks, the world doesn't look at Trump the same. They don't fear Trump anymore. They don't take Trump seriously anymore. I'm not even sure how much they respect Trump anymore, to be honest. This isn't the first term. And they see Netanyahu making Trump his bitch. They see Trump talking a big game, but the military is spread so thin, they don't even know what to do. He's talking a big game all around the world, but he can't fight all these fights at once. So China's like, oh, maybe we take back the Panama Canal. Russia's like, oh, maybe we go into Kiev. Even Brazil. Brazil's President Lula says Trump was not elected to be emperor of the world as U.S.-Brazil spat escalates. What a sad turn of events. What a sad turn of events. Can't even get Mexico. Can't even get Sheinbaum in Mexico to work with him. Mexico considering legal action against ICE. And they're saying, oh, ICE is killing a bunch of these people. Well, first of all, the specific incident they're talking about happened at that pot farm. The guy jumped off a roof. He jumped off a building running from ICE. So ICE shows up for law enforcement. He jumps off a building. And Mexico is going to sue ICE? How about we sue you? How about we sue you for the invasion? How about we sue you for all the cartel activity? Yeah. But see, this is just all signs, folks. Nobody's taking Trump as seriously as they once did. Nobody. And his big mouth isn't reverberating and making the noise that it used to. And they know at the end of the day, the foreign policy is going to be so caught up in Israel's desires that there's really nothing else that they can do. They're hollowing out our military for Ukraine. It's just a joke. It's all falling apart. And they keep detaining citizens with these ICE raids. Army veteran detained by ICE and California farm raid speaks out. You know, here's the problem. You know, we're for the raids and we're for deporting illegal aliens. And if you want to be aggressive about it, then you go after the real bad guys. You go after the real criminals in an aggressive fashion. But what's really going on is, you know, the Trump administration talks a big game and big victories, but behind the scenes, folks, they're desperate. They're desperate. They know the approval ratings are going down. They know MAGA is feeling disenfranchised. And all the propaganda and digital influence campaigns, it's not working. It's just not working. They totally underestimated the power of the original MAGA, the original Trump's base, InfoWars audience, however you want to put it. So they need wins. And the mass deportations is like they figure the easiest win for them. They can't even, it's like a struggle just to do Doge cuts. They can't even get basic Doge cuts. So they need wins. So it's just like, oh yeah, all out raids, like force, show of force, cameras, like make sure everybody sees it. We want this show of force on these raids. And they run into this pot farm, kids run around, guys jumping off roofs, guy dies. It's all compensation for what is a failing administration pretending to be having all these victories. And this is what's ironic about it, is if you want to do show of force raids, hey, we all want the deportations, we all want the bad guys, the criminals gone. If you want to get a win from a show of force raid because you blew this one, this is another loss, totally bad optics. Again, I support the deportations, but you lost in the optics war. And it didn't even give you much of a polling boost, if any at all. If you want to do show of force raids and you want to save this administration right now, at least in the short term, and you want to get a polling boost and declare a victory, you need to start doing raids on the deep state. You need to start doing raids on Epstein's clients. You need to start doing raids on the people that deleted the January 6th evidence and ran the January 6th sham committee. If you want to do show of force raids to show the American people you're serious, then you need to do it against the deep state criminals. You need to do it to Alejandro Mayorkas. You need to do it to the Biden crime family. Doing a show of force raids and sending the camera crews out there to capture it, thinking it's going to give you a victory and a polling boost, when a bunch of kids are running around jumping off roofs, ain't going to do it. And it didn't work. You want to do show of force raids? Go after the deep state. Go after Mayorkas. Go after the Biden crime.
So we had Stuart Rhodes, the founder of Oath Keepers, former J6 political prisoner, constitutional lawyer, so much more on paratrooper. And he wanted to try methylene blue like so many other guests have done live on air. I got so busy with all the Iran war stuff and the commies rioting to ever get him to take it on air. All the guests, dozens of them that have taken it, within 45 minutes to an hour, have varying degrees from extreme energy and feeling really great to fog lifting to just over the top crying and feel so good. Especially the first time you take it. Electrochemical in the mitochondria, cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr. loves it. We've got the strongest ultra methylene blue. But he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended, I forgot to do this. He's like, hey, are we doing methylene blue? So he's going to take it now, but guys, don't forget when he's on Owen. So maybe if he forgets before he's going to go off, to tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. I've had like out of 300 plus people we've given it to, two people did not feel it. And that means your mitochondria is in perfect shape. So Stuart, go ahead and take a half dropper or so. That's about a half dose. And then go ahead and shut that down. And then we're going to find out what happens to you. We'll see. Most people, it hits within about 30 minutes. It starts peaking after a couple hours. But you're going to be on Owen. So please, before you go, just tell people what you think. And if you don't feel it, we're going to tell everybody.
20 minutes later.
I can feel a definite, like an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now? Now that you have your energy spike?
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project, and I was pretty efficient in sleep. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
That's good. Well, that's probably, I don't know, that might be because you're hanging out with me. So we gotta maybe try to go.
I think it's for methylene blue.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.